Today is the 70th anniversary of Dennis the Menace's first appearance in the Beano comic, which was issue 452, dated March 17th, 1951. The Beano comic and Dennis the Menace are very well ingrained parts of British culture and have always been very much a part of my life. My kids share that love of the Beano, and we even recently adopted a second dog, this one being a black dog that we named Nasha. Many people have worked on the Dennis comic strip over the years, including David Law, who drew him first, Ian Chrisholm, David Sutherland, Jimmy Hansen, Tom Patterson, Nigel Octolooney, who is the current writer, and Nigel Parkinson, who is the current artist. And back in 2019, I had the opportunity to interview Nigel Parkinson on this podcast as the Beano was celebrating its 4,000th issue. So what better a time to revisit our interview with the Dennis artist than on Dennis's 70th anniversary. So here it is again, my conversation with Nigel Parkinson.
So, hi, Nigel. Thank you for joining us for the podcast.
Hello there, Liam. It's nice to be here.
How long have you been working on the Beano now?
Well, on the Beano, I've been there for about 25 years. I've been drawing Dennis pretty much for 20 years. I started doing Dennis 20 years ago, and it got increasingly more and more involved drawing Dennis, and now it's that's my gig, drawing Dennis. Oh, and the cover every week as well. Don't forget that. I always draw the cover.
You look at a Beano now compared to the comic that I was reading when I started reading it in the 80s, it looks very, very different. But these changes are great. I feel like it's the Beano's done such a great job at moving with the times. Now,
yes,
Go on, sorry.
Can I just say the changes are actually very gradual, except
yes.
On occasions we might have a special revamp kind of thing and everyone notices it. But actually, we change all the time. And if you look from one year on to the next, they're radically different, you know. And of course, they're different over 4,000 issues. So there's no question of that.
So you've been drawing comics since the beginning of the 80s, correct?
Since 1980. Yeah, that's right.
So when did you start reading the Beano then?
Well, I mean, I used to read any comic. In fact, I used to read anything from a very young age, like 2 or 3 years old. I would read any magazine, book, newspaper, comic, anything that was put in front of me. I couldn't really read it, but I would just enjoy the look of the words, you know. Any periodical. I mean, I would love the fact that it would come out again next week or next month or whatever. From a very early age, I loved the idea of publishing.
And you're saying there, making the point about not necessarily being able to read it, but looking at the pictures with the, like the work of, say, Leo Baxendale, where there's so much going on in the in all of the images. It's great for young kids who you don't even need to be able to read. You've just got to look at all of this stuff going on in all the pictures.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he was famous for it because he tried to emulate what Carl Giles had done in the Daily Express cartoons, which was to have a picture just packed with detail. And you can go back years later and find things you never even noticed, which are really funny. And of course, children have got better eyesight than adults, as I've been finding out to my cost these last 10 years. they spot these little things you put in that an adult might not even notice. And it's great fun to do because you can have like kind of subsidiary characters, and you can even make things like buildings have their own character in it. Adults don't really notice it. They just go, oh, yeah, there's a building. But kids go, oh, there's a funny building. Or there's a building that's leaning to one side. That's a building that's not looking forward to tomorrow. You know, they spot these little things that you put in. I think it's great.
So how much of an impact has artists like Leo Baxendale and Ken Reed had on you and your style, your career?
Well, when I was a child, we had, I think it was in their heyday. I mean, I know everyone says that, but in the mid-60s, Baxendale and Ken Reed were working on a comic called Wham! And then Smash. And these were just tremendously exciting things to see because Ken Reed was doing not only Frankenstein, or is it Frankenstein? I've never been sure. But he also had the Nerves, which for my money is the grossest and funniest comic strip ever done. You check it out if you haven't seen it. He only did it for about 6 months in 1968, but it's absolutely sensational. And Baxendale was just brilliant throughout the decade. And that was what I sort of grew up on. And I started to try and draw my own comics around the time they were doing it. So I'm heavily influenced by them, particularly Leo Baxendale, because frankly, Ken Reed's stuff looked like it was too hard to draw, whereas Baxter's looked like it was easier. It's not actually the case, but it looked it.
So, having read comics from such an early age, specifically like the British comics there, as the Beano's hit its 4,000th issue now, how would you describe how the comic has evolved, and why do you think that the comic still resonates today?
The Beano resonates today because it's still the best. And the reason it's the best is because it kind of pays attention to what the readers want. And what the readers want, the readers are like 6 to 11 years old. What they want is fun. They want anti-authority stuff. They want kind of crazy anarchy. And most of all, they just wanted to be funny. And that's what we give them every week. Every line should be funny. Every drawing should be funny. I mean, every line of dialogue should be funny. Every drawing should be funny. Everything should be, even the way it's colored should be funny, you know? Maybe the staples are put in a very straightforward way, but everything else should be funny, you know? And that's what we give them. And we've changed it over the years solely to maintain that, because there are certain things which were funny in the 50s, which are not funny now. I needn't go into detail.
Yes.
But we've kept up to date, you know. And even from year to year, you know, like, say, for example, mobile phones. Like, they change so often. And you forget that 5 years ago, mobile phones were, like, tiny. And that was the big thing. And 5 years before that, they were, like, the hinge, you know, they flipped up. And that was the big thing, you know. So you've always got to keep up to date. Otherwise, you look like you're not going to what you're doing, you know. And that's what we do. We keep us up to date, fresh, funny. And most of all, is kids aspire to being able to be like that, to have that kind of life that the characters we draw. But of course, they can't have that kind of life because it would just be mad.
The Beano now, I'd say, now it's added like Beano Studios as well. Yes. To it. Like the amount of work that the Beano does with speaking to to children today, like they, I believe, are now interviewing children at different schools on a regular, like weekly basis. So it's to make sure that they've always got the finger on the pulse as to what is cool right now, and trying to make it so is that the every week with a new issue that you are keeping super, super relevant, you know, with what the kids going into.
To be honest, they've always done that. They've always done focus groups. Now it's easier because of the internet and that.
Oh, I never knew this. They always did it.
They've always done it. Yeah, they did it back in the 60s and 70s. Yeah.
So how does this impact you as the artist with the stories? Like, how much lead time do you get each week for the story?
Oh, not enough. You know, when I started in comics, it was like 6 to 8 weeks was the lead time. Sometimes now it's, if we get 2 weeks, that's a really good lead time.
Oh, wow. It's a big time.
I mean, there was one thing, it's very quick, isn't it? There was one thing I did, I can't remember what it was now. I can't remember what it was, but it was recently, and I was phoned. This is how urgent it was. I was phoned at 10 o'clock in the morning that they wanted it to go to press at 4 o'clock that afternoon. And wow. I did a page in that time. I penciled it, inked it, colored it myself because there was no time to even send it to my color artist, Nikki. So, you know, it was, it can be really tight like that, especially if you have to do something for an online thing, because they often, like when David Bowie died, the CEO of Beano Studios wanted a sort of a tribute thing and had to dash that off so it could be online that morning, you know. So these things happen very quickly. And we'd like to have 6 to 8 weeks, but it's not 1980 anymore. You know?
I do remember when it happened and seeing the picture of Dennis with the David Bowie lightning bolt across his face.
That's it.
And I do remember being actually quite impressed at how quickly the Beano had responded with that, and that you've got a picture up there.
That's right. We want to be relevant because, you know, if you're not relevant, you're not really doing your job, are you, when it's something that people have in their hands and in their homes, you know. So it means that we have to draw really fast. One of my big advantages is I've always been really quite fast at drawing. And I, you know, set out to be fast because I thought anyone can be really good at what they do if they take the time. That was how I thought in those days. But not everyone can be really fast. So I've sort of trained myself up like an athlete to be really fast, you know.
Oh, wow.
I think I read in one of the postings on your blog. You made told a little story about at one of the comic book conventions that you were there with someone from DC Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked you to draw a picture of Dennis, and you drew it in 10 seconds.
Yeah, and it was Morris who was the editor of the Dandy at the time. He's retired now, so he won't mind me telling this. And he said, there's a lad of about 11 or 12. And he said, oh, here's the man who can draw you a picture of Dennis. And I did it standing up just there, and everyone was amazed. And Morris said, if that's the time it takes you, we're paying you too much. And I said, you're not paying me for the 10 seconds, you're paying me for the 20 years practice beforehand. You know, I know it's 20 years practice. But the funny thing about that story is, I met that lad again. He's now like 25 or something, at a Comic-Con a couple of years ago. And he said, I don't know if you remember me, but I was standing there with Morris Heggie, and you came up and did a drawing of Dennis in 10 seconds. I said, not only do I remember it, I often tell that story. So, yeah, that was nice to have that. You know?
So the appearance of Dennis, for example, in the Beano comic has changed over the year. There's a few different distinctive styles for it, for how he's drawn. Yeah. You've drawn more than one of the styles. Like, you're obviously doing the current style. You were drawing him in the 90s, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, which was around the time when he briefly started to wear trainers instead of the shoes, which I remember that being a big thing. But when you're drawing one character a certain way for so long, how difficult is it then when the new style has been created? And also, are you involved in creating the new style?
Yeah, we do change Dennis's appearance in a, not radically, but in a noticeable way from time to time. We do it every time there's a new animated TV series. We have to kind of match it a little bit so that people coming from the TV show, viewers who've never seen the Beano, can understand it's the same character.
Yeah.
And occasionally we have something like when I started, David Parkins had just started drawing Dennis, and he had a really lovely style, but it was quite different from David Sutherland and, of course, Davey Law, who'd drawn it before. So I was trying to emulate him. In fact, my first few attempts, I say attempts, they were published, so it was fine. My first few jobs drawing Dennis, I thought, oh, yes, I've got to, you know, I've mimicked David Parkin's style really well there. No one will notice. And then I looked at him about a year later and thought, these are rubbish, you know. They didn't look anything like his style, you know. But the Dennis of today, the last, should we say, 3 or 4 years, has been how I'd like to draw him. So I finally got to draw him the way I think works best for the character and for me and for the storylines, and everyone seems pleased with it, so that's nice.
Yeah, I do like the new style, the way that he's drawn, as well as the one just beforehand, where with the when the second Dennis cartoon came out, so they changed the style a bit then, and I liked that. But specifically lately, the way that it's drawn, it matches in with Dennis and Nasher Unleashed very nicely. Yeah. As with all the character redesigns. Now, also another change in the Beano right now is, unlike when I was younger, all the kids, they were all in Beano Town, but they never saw each other in school. And then you did the story arc where then now everyone's all now in the same school, which makes so much sense to do that. Like, what's your take on that?
It can be quite difficult for the editorial staff, because if they have everyone in the class and Dennis is in it, then I have to draw the story because I'm the Dennis guy. But if they have everyone except Dennis, then whoever's drawing that page can do it themselves, which means that you can't use Dennis an awful lot. Otherwise, I'd be drawing the whole comic all the time, you know, which I could possibly do. I don't know. No, maybe I couldn't. So there's the kind of difficulties that it's a bit odd if you have everyone in Beano Town except Dennis. It looks a bit strange, you know. So they try not to have everyone, and they have like two people hanging out together, or three, or you know, little combinations, you know, like Marvel Comics used to do with 2-in-1 or whatever it was, you know. Whereas the Dennis stories, because I have to do them, they tend to be for special events like the 4,000th issue, like Christmas, Halloween, you know, whatever, things like that. or if there's a sudden topical event, such as a royal wedding or an election, things like that, sometimes we do a story, and you should see the deadlines on those. Yeah.
No, I love the fact that the Beano has, I know some people don't like this, but I love how the Beano started to get a little bit political with things. I actually have it arrived at the house just the other day, the other week, but it's, I gotta wait till Christmas because that was always Christmas. So like that's when I get the Beano annual. So I'll have to wait, but I look forward to it.
Good.
I've been talking an awful lot here. I just want to check with Stuart and Rob also on the call. Is there anything you guys want to ask of Nigel?
I had a couple of things just going back because I've written down as you were talking, Nigel, on a couple of bits back. I know that Liam's a sort of super Beano fan, so I let him talk. But,
I can tell.
But yeah, just a couple of things. I mean, I was wondering, obviously you said you've been drawing it for like 20 years. I just wondered if any like technology or anything or anything you've used to like change and speed up the process of how you now draw them. I'm assuming 20 years ago it was pen and pencil.
This question. Yeah. it still is. You know, I don't use pencil a lot. I tend to just like lay out the page on paper. What's the paper I use? It's layout paper. Very, very thin, and I sort of do a rough guide to what I want on the page. If there's a particularly tricky drawing, like we had an octopus holding the Bashkir kids the other week, I had to sort of do more detailed pencils, and then I use pigment liner pens and sign pens to actually do the proper drawing, and then I scan it in, and at that point it becomes like a modern way. I scan it in, send it to my colorist, Nikki, and she does the coloring. She used to come in, you know, 15 years ago, she used to come into the studio and sit there with marker pens doing all the coloring by hand. And we'd roll it up in a tube, and I'd send her out to post it, and she'd come back an hour later, and I'd say, where have you been? She'd have bought a dress, and you think, I'm supposed to just go to the post office. So we don't have that now. I don't know what she gets up to. She just does the work.
All is all online, I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. She's probably shops online, yeah. So that's right, yeah.
All right, awesome, excellent. And just a quick one, when you're talking about the sort of cartoons and how you've had to maybe mimic the style sometimes of the cartoons that come out, have they ever come to you or got involved in?
Oh yeah.
Or
yeah.
You got involved in the cartoons and sort of giving them direction on how to do it?
Yeah, they're both the recent one, Dennis and Asher Unleashed, and the one before it from about 10, 12 years ago, I was involved in the design of both of them. First one was quite a small company in Scotland, and I didn't feel that it had worked quite as well as I'd hoped. The second one was quite a big deal in London, and we had two goes at it, and the first go at it, I don't know if I can say this, whether it's public knowledge, first go at it I thought was great, but then the broadcasters thought that Dennis was a little bit menacing, so we made him made it a bit different, and then it was sort of taken out of my hands a little bit. But I was certainly involved in them. But it's such a making a TV show is very different from making a comic, because you have so many people involved, the animators and the production staff. You've seen the list at the end of the show. There's like 50, 100 people, whereas in the comic there's like the writer Nigel Octolooney, me, Nikki, my colorist, and then the editorial staff of put the word balloons on, and there you go.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. It's still just like just that small number of people to make the Beano as well. If you think like this day and age, they could bring in so many other people.
They could do with a few more, to be honest. You know, listening, but Beano Studios, give them a couple of extra staff. You know,
excellent. Leave a new job. There you go. Done.
There you go.
Excellent.
Just a quick question for myself, leading on from the cartoons, Nigel. Do you find that with obviously the Beano's continuing success and growth, and with the cartoons being a sort of, I don't want to say more wide-reaching medium, but obviously a lot more children will see it than they would be if through the print, that you get a lot more worldwide international audience feel for the comics now than there were back in the mid-80s?
Do you know, there's always been a small audience for the comics overseas. For some reason in the 90s, it was very big in China for a while. I never understood that, yeah. But obviously the TV show, it's now for the first time Dennis is known in France and across Europe, which is nice. If anyone at a Comic Con in France wants to invite me, then go ahead. And also, it just started showing in America last month, which is good news. Of course, that's one of the reasons why we couldn't call it Dennis the Menace, because they've got their own Dennis the Menace. So we had to call it Dennis and Nasher Unleashed. So, but we don't really have any. We don't really seem to have much of a crossover. When I do Comic Cons, I do one almost every weekend at the moment, and kids who've seen him on TV tend to also have seen the comic. So I think in terms of British audience, although the Beano sells about 8% more year on year for the past 5 years, which is astonishing increase when you think about it for a print publication. And then on top of that, we've got the the sort of online subscriptions as well. So we're doing something right. And the TV show just kind of helps that. They've kind of regarded as separate entities in many ways, because the TV show can be repeated and sold abroad and people can catch up on it later, whereas the Beano is a weekly thing which has a lot of currency in terms of what it can do. You know, a TV show takes weeks, months to produce it. As we've noticed, a comic can be done. Yeah, turn around very, very quickly, you know. So, and then we've got the website as well. So Beano. So we've got, you know, we've got a lot of Beano Studio stuff going on. But the Beano comic's right at the heart of it, and is doing better year on year. And come and see me if I'm at a Comic Con. Get me to draw your character. Which ones am I going to? I've just done 12 on a trot over the last 12 weekends.
Oh wow!
Today I'm going to Cardiff Friday. The 6th of September, I think it is, yeah. I have Comic Con tomorrow, and then I've got Norwich at the end of September. That's a big 2-day one. Buxton, 20th of October. That's a Sunday one. I've got, what's the one in November? 23rd, 24th of November. Reading, that's right. That's near London. Anyone can come to that.
Yeah. We'll make a date.
Yeah. And there's loads of others next year. So, yeah, come along. It's good fun.
Yeah. I can see from your activity online that you're very active with the comic conventions now, which is great.
Well, you know, it's great because when I started, I was, you know, obviously sitting in a room drawing and no one knew what I was doing. And then 6 weeks later, it'd be published. And then maybe a year later, the Beano editor would say, oh, that thing you did last year was good. We got a couple of letters. I said, oh, that's nice. Whereas now you get immediate feedback, because not only online, but in person when you go to a comic con. I had one girl in Dublin a couple of years ago. She was standing up. We're always very, me and Nikki often do them together, but I've been doing them by myself recently because she hasn't been there. But she'll be back. And there's usually a big crowd of people around me as I'm drawing, you know. And there was one young girl standing on the outskirts for a while, and then we noticed her come closer and closer and closer, and then she suddenly said, you are the best artist in the Beano. And I said, who says that? And she said, I say that. So I thought, well, that's nice, you know, it's nice to have people validate what you do, and it's not just sitting in a room by yourself anymore. It's like people, you do have an audience, people do appreciate it, and that's nice to hear, you know?
So that is cool. Like, so now that the Beano has hit its 4,000th issue, it's been around for so long, longest running comic, I believe, in the world. And you know, you started off as a liking these comics as a young kid. That's now right. You are the artist at this point. Yeah. What's that like for you to have on that journey? Because I imagine, like, from as a young age to hit this point, that's got to be. It's got to be a dream.
It is. It's weird because I always assumed that this would happen because I couldn't do anything else. You know, I never applied myself to any form of employment other than drawing comics. So it's been like very. Sometimes I sit here and I think I can't believe I'm the Dennis the Menace guy in the Beano. Yeah, I've been doing it so long, and you know, I'm the guy. How did that happen? How did it happen? And I, like a lot of things, you don't plan it, but it does happen. But in a way, I was wondering whether maybe I did plan it, or maybe I knew all the things I had to do, you know. Which part of it was for 17 years, I asked the Beano editor once a year, every year, any work for me, and he'd always say no. And then one year he said yes, and that was just as simple as that, you know. It sounds like it's simple. Of course, it's very complicated, because what if he'd said no again? You know, would I have persisted for another year? You know, we just don't know. Everything just falls into place somehow, and I don't know. It's just baffling.
Well, I'm glad you did persist, because I do think that your drawing style is very much the Beano. Like, when you think of the Beano, your style, that is perfect. On that note, it is time to wrap up this episode. So thank you, Nigel, for joining us for our episode. So that's it for this episode of Legends of Podcasts. And be sure to click that subscribe button wherever you found this episode. And also, you can find us across social media. Just look for Legends of Podcasting. We're also on YouTube, so you can head over there and find reaction videos, lots of current comic book-based TV shows. And also, our guest this week, Nigel Parkinson, is also on social media. So be sure to look for Nigel Parkinson, as well as the Beano. Follow the Beano. There's lots of great stuff they are posting online now. And you can find Nigel Parkinson at pretty much most comic book conventions in the UK now. So be sure to swing by, say hi. And yeah, I think that's it. We know we're going to be hunting out Nigel at the comic book conventions. So that's bye from me.
It's bye from Stuart.
And bye from Rob.
Bye.
Everyone we know loves the Beano.